city have some fun. Let our faces feel the morning sun. Gonna laugh and put on a smile. Come along and join us for a while. Where it's pretty clear to me. The whole world takes itself too seriously. Take a ride with
a
man on a bike that goes nowhere. If it's pretty clear to you, won't you be less serious too? Take a ride with
a
man on a bike that goes nowhere.
Welcome to the super excellent, not too serious Bike That Goes Nowhere podcast. I'm a somewhat still sick Abe.
And I'm perfectly healthy Mare.
Oh.
Knocking on wood.
Yes, yes. I'll present my head for you to knock on.
Oh my goodness. I'm glad you're better.
I'm getting there. It's still, I don't know, like post-nasal drip kind of, still a little congestion.
Fun. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Now, what consistency is this drip?
Is disgusting a consistency?
Not a medical term, no, but.
Because that would be the best way for me to describe it.
I mean, I think all consistencies can be disgusting depending on what the
that's fair
the fluid is.
That's fair.
All right, well, since we're on this topic,
it's a little mucusy. Does that help?
Okay, there you go.
A little phlegmy.
Yeah, I went and did a fun thing today. I went and had my ID made at a local college.
You, what?
I stood in the same room where I had an ID made in 1995 for my first year of college. And I went today as a faculty member to have my faculty badge made.
Gotcha.
And the lady who was helping me, she goes, I said, oh, I went to school here. And she's like, oh, is your picture out here? And it's all the nursing pictures. And mm-hmm. I didn't realize they'd kept them. I don't know. They used to be over in a different building because right. they have this nice, beautiful new nursing building that they did not have on campus when I went there. We were in the social sciences building. So we were there with government and psychology and nursing. And so, yeah, sure enough, my picture's on the wall.
I thought you were going to say that she said, I remember you.
Well, funny enough, so I mentioned, oh, my oldest daughter's in the Roustabouts here. And she goes, who's your daughter? My daughter's in the Roustabouts. And so she's like, oh, yeah, I know, Allie, the one that plays bass. And she said, I was in the Roustabouts, too. And I said, oh, what, you know, and she's like, 1996, 97. I was like, okay, so we were both here at the same time. And I watched the Roustabouts. I mean, she looked familiar. We obviously didn't like run in the same circles, but yeah, it was kind of cool. It was like, wow. And now here we are, just a little bit older.
Tell me a little more about you that running in the same circles. What circles did you run in, Mare?
Student government. I was student body president. And the year before that, I was student body vice president.
Were you really?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Big nerd.
Very, very
Phi
fancy.
Phi Theta Kappa. Of course, busy in the nursing department, lived in the honor dorm. Wow, I just sound like a real drag.
And you called me a nerd.
Yeah, I did. But no,
mind you,
I
that episode hasn't aired yet.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I have a correction corner for myself for that episode, too. But she would have been in the musical theater, Roustabouts, choir circle. So I would have absolutely watched her performances. I watched the Roustabouts performances. So
right.
We probably would have been at basketball games at the same time. You know, just different circles. Yeah.
That's
not
fair.
A good circle and a bad circle. Just different circles, Abe. I didn't hang out with the basketball players either. Very different circle. It's a lot taller than my circle.
I believe it's called a hoop, Meredith.
A hoop.
Not a whoop.
I was part of the hoopla. Anyway. So that was a little bit of fun. And then, of course, my daughter's on that campus. And so I'm like, haha, I'm faculty now. Not that she would ever see me.
I was just going to say, does she find it weird that you're there on campus?
No, and to be fair, her dad, when she was younger, had already taught there as well in the math department. So slightly different departments. And her grandpa taught there in the English department for a long time, retired from there. So, yeah, it's nepotism, I guess. That's how she got in, was name recognition.
I doubt that's the case. I'm sure she earned her entrance to the college.
She got an academic scholarship and a music scholarship. And I can tell you, she earned those on her own.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
There are no buildings with our names on it there.
It's called the shack in the back there.
Well, funny enough, I'm like, there's the dorm I lived in. It's now like been condemned. Did I say dorm? Anyway.
Dorm.
It's condemned. There's no one living in
it. The outhouse.
Now.
That's got your name on it.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. But no, it was good. And I'm looking forward to it. So
how did that feel? Like sitting, standing there, getting your badge done, knowing that you were there, 30? Is it 30? Oh, 30 years ago?
It's 27 years ago. I've been a nurse 27 years. So actually, Abe, I think 30 is actually pretty on the money.
Well, I mean, 29 technically, because you said 1995.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, now I did graduate high school a year early, but still. it felt like I had dreamed of this. Like, since I was in nursing school there, I thought one day I'd like to teach nursing. And I thought one day maybe I'll teach here. And then life happened and I really didn't see it happening. And I went back to school and got a pathway for it to happen. And even while I was there, I was like, you know, this could be full time one day, you know, or full time maybe in another country. I don't know. Anything can happen. Get some experience.
I wonder which country you're referencing there, Meredith.
Australia. Oh, okay. I'm really into spiders. But I do have a correction corner from an episode that hasn't aired yet.
Oh.
So in an episode that hasn't aired yet, I mentioned that no one would listen to this podcast unless they're part of the Echelon community, except for maybe my mom, right?
Right.
Well, I forgot. I found out a couple months ago. I was catching up with an old friend that I met when I lived in California, and she's from England, but she's Welsh, and that's going to come up later too.
Okay.
But she's absolutely wonderful. And so she had sent me a voice message. I was like, oh my goodness, because of course she has this beautiful accent. And I was like, it was so nice to hear your voice. You know, it's like a hug. It's so wonderful. And I sent her back a voice message. And she's like, oh, it's nice to hear your voice too. But of course I hear it all the time. And I'm thinking, what? How do you hear my voice? She's like, oh, I listen to the podcast.
Oh.
So shout out to Louise, who listens to the podcast. Hi, Louise. She's the best. So I
feel like Louise needs to teach us how to say hello in Welsh.
Oh, she could. She taught me how to say hug, and now I'm going to get it wrong. But it's like, because it has like a V in the middle or something. But it's like, oh, I'm going to say it wrong. Kvetch or, no, that's not, because that's
I'm pretty
Yiddish.
Sure that's
Yiddish.
That's what I was going to say.
Louise, help me out.
Oy vey.
It's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know even now. But,
well, that's awesome.
She can actually speak Welsh. So
now, if I'm not mistaken, they have pretty thick accents, do they not?
Beautiful accents.
I'm not saying they're not. I'm just
saying Scottish is very thick. I don't feel
Scottish
like Welsh
is thick.
As thick. I feel like Welsh is very lilting. And of course you heard the Welsh accent on Traitors UK, because one of the traitors had a very
right.
Oh,
and watching watching the Great British Bake Off.
Bake Off. There's always a lunch person.
There's always, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's what I'm using as my reference point in terms of the thick accent.
Yes. You're right.
Because I remember I needed subtitles because I couldn't understand her very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So a correction corner. I do enjoy those.
So I can't say it, but how you say big hug in Welsh is C-W-T-C-H, catch, quetch, fetch, and then M-A-W-R.
M-A-W-R.
Mm-hmm. So that's big.
Like
because hug is the first one. Yeah. Cooch?
Okay.
Maybe it's cooch. It's something like that.
Okay.
She taught me, and I've forgotten. It's been too long since I've seen her.
Okay, well, there you go. Louise?
Hopefully she'll send me a voice message and be like, Meredith, I cannot believe you embarrassed me like that.
Well, I'm wondering, do we need to have like a segment, a regular segment on how to speak Welsh from now on?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can tell you, there's at least one Echelon writer we could have help with that because... A little bit of Echelon news. I'm skipping around all over the place. I've had a couple energy drinks. Anyway, Rowan Foggett has a 90-minute ride for St. George's Day.
Okay.
That is England, St. George's Day. That's the St. George's flag is the white flag with the red cross, I don't know, on it. So that's part of the Union Jack, but that part is England. And okay. So I see that he's like, St. George's Day, come join me. Welsh person. I think I'll give it a miss. Then I see all these Scottish flags like, nah. And so I said, I wish I could be there because, of course, it's middle of the day for me. I
right.
think it's like 6 p.m. in the evening for the Englanders
right.
Or that time zone. But I said, but I'm going to be Team Dragon because St. George... defeated the last of the dragons, allegedly.
I see.
So, yeah. But
isn't there a dragon on the Welsh flag?
There is. Yes.
Aren't you surprised that I know that?
No.
I'm surprised that I know that.
That is the coolest flag in all the history of flags. So, no,
okay.
Everyone should know that. And if you didn't know that,
now you know.
Less of you.
Did you know? Speaking of jumping around.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. But yeah, Rowan's got that 90-minute ride, so I'm like, I can't do it on the day. But I would love to get together a group and do it.
Well, maybe afterwards. We can get Sparky Roo back on the podcast if you do the 90-minute ride and do and a couple
I
have
of
others.
To do two of them. So I don't know if I mentioned it's on the 23rd. So by the time this comes out, you can still do it. So April 23rd.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, what's
so what else
have
you been up
you?
To? Oh, not
I'm
it.
Throwing it back to you. Well, I've had a visitor, and
a
my
visitor.
Visitor, yeah, has helped me carry lots of plants and plant Ooh. Lots of things, and I already have some strawberries blooming. Now, listen, we can really get dirty with this garden talk if you want. I've had my hands in the dirt. I'm full of serotonin. It's incredible. My 14-year-old has gotten into it. In fact, my 14-year-old's like, I want a garden this year. And I'm like, okay, great. And they're like, okay, well, let's go see what pots we have and which ones I can plant stuff in. I've never been this organized in my life. So we had to count all the pots, took pictures of the pots, had to plot out what we were going to plant in each pot. She's like, we need 9 different colors of flowers, Mom. Okay. What colors do you want? Like, we had to decide all this before even going to look at a single plant. That is not how I garden. I go
okay.
to the nursery and just let the plants speak to me. But that did not happen because I had a 14-year-old with their list and we stuck to the list.
Okay.
What was on the list? And if I looked at something else, well, which pot is that going to go in? I was just like, what? What is going on?
Why did they have to go in pots?
Well, because that's what we had. We had pots. I mean, we put some things in the ground.
Okay.
But like, yeah, like the annuals and stuff, you just put them in pots. They're not going to, like the perennials, you want to plant in the ground because it'll come back year after year.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't garden.
Okay. I do. And it was fun, but it was very, I was, oh, and we, this child made me prep everything before we even went and bought the flowers. I don't usually that either. Yeah, it's like, let's get all the pots ready. Let's get everything in its place. Let's do some prep work. I tell you, about 3 years I had them in Girl Scouts. That was a bad idea.
Or maybe they're just a better influence on you.
Maybe. It was actually quite fun. And now they're into baking, and they bake some chocolate chip cookies. And
ooh,
they were good.
You know what you should do?
What?
You should challenge them to bake something with those pickled jelly beans.
Oh, no. I gotta tell you, we eat it.
We used to have a TV show in Canada called Just Like Mom.
Oh, okay.
And it was, initially, it was trivia questions. Like, the first few round, I think, was trivia questions. And the host would ask the kid questions, and then mom would have to guess how the kid answered. And then they'd switch roles, and they'd ask the mom questions, and the kids would have to guess how mom answered. But then the final round, the kids go into this kitchen, and they have all of these ingredients, some good, some not so good, like, you know, ketchup, mustard, relish, marshmallows, chocolate chip cookies, or chocolate chips rather, et cetera, et cetera. And they were supposed to make a cookie of some kind for mom to taste, to eat. And mom had to guess which cookie their kid made.
Oh, my goodness.
And some of the stuff that went into these, I don't even want to call them
monstrosities.
Cookies. Yes, monstrosities is a very, very good descriptive word. Abomination is another great descriptive word. You know how some kids will go to like 7-Eleven or something, and they'll get like a swamp water.
Yes.
Where they'll get a little bit of everything in there. Yeah. This is pretty much what the cookies ended up being. Yeah, it was a fun show. I enjoyed watching that,
that sounds
as
horrible.
A child.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So no. I think that your child needs to come up with a recipe to make use of those pickle jelly beans.
I think you're not allowed near my child. That's what I think. Do you know, they're still here. They're still here with the clothespin on them. Can't get anyone to eat them. I have my oldest.
Has Matthew tried them?
No, Matthew has not tried them.
Oh.
Hmm. Oh.
Do we need to have a little live segment right now?
Oh, my goodness. I do not think he would be happy with me. I do have my oldest daughter coming over tonight because tomorrow is transfer day at OSU. That's the college she's going to, Oklahoma State University. Go Pokes. And so we're going to go down there tomorrow. So that's going to be fun, too.
Take them with you.
I'm taking my checkbook. Yeah, I'm going to try. Allie actually might eat one.
Allie could see if you can pawn them off.
You know what? And then her fiance, Malik. Yeah, I think Malik would eat it.
Okay.
You'll just give it to Malik.
You know what you should do? You should get a different kind, a different wrapper or something of actual jelly beans.
You're
and then
evil.
Just share them.
You're so evil. Like, because Allie's favorite color is green, I could be like, oh, I thought of you. I got you some green jelly beans.
There you go.
No. I love my child.
Yeah. That, whether you love them or not is doesn't mean that you can't do that. You can still have fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Tease them a little bit.
Oh,
no?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'll get her to try one.
So, have you been watching anything interesting?
I don't know if anyone else is watching this. It's very popular on Netflix right now. It's called Three Body Problem. I'm not sure what's going on. So I have been watching it, but I've watched a couple of episodes and I honestly don't know what's going on.
Three Body Problems?
Mm-hmm. Three Body Problem. It's some sci-fi thing. It's some, I don't even remember what's happened with it. Like, I'm very lost.
Okay.
So if anyone knows what's going on, or if anyone's like further along into it and it's like, oh no, you just have to get through that. And then it's like really good.
Right.
Let me know. Because okay. I'm about to cut bait.
I give shows about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm saying that. They give them 10 minutes. Yeah. And then if
you've got
10
minutes to capture my attention. And if I'm not in, see ya.
I've read entire books thinking this is terrible. This is just, ugh. And then at the very end, I've been like, oh.
There was a show, I can't remember when it came out. I think it was called Damages. And it had Glenn Close in it.
Yes. Yeah.
And we were watching it and I'm sitting there going, okay, like whatever. The first episode, this is, I'm done with this. I'm ready to write this thing off. And people were like, no, you got to watch it until the very end. So we sat through like 59 minutes and 30 seconds of absolute garbage. And then the last 30 seconds was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I love that feeling, but I got to know it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I need to know that my investment of time is going to have a payoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was a good series. That was a really good series. I enjoyed that one.
Watched Jimmy Carr's new special on Netflix. That was good. I want to watch Tig Notaro's. I have not got to watch that yet. So
Jimmy Carr has got the funniest laugh I've ever heard.
He's like a donkey.
He really is. And he's so quick with his, like when he gets heckled. Oh, he's so quick.
He's so good. He's awesome.
We've been watching Deal or No Deal Island.
Oh, wow. Same premise, but they're on an island? An island?
No. You're on an island. It stars, what's his name? Manganiello. Joe Manganiello.
All right.
Is his name. And he was in...
And Deal or No Deal is his game.
He was in True Blood.
Okay, didn't watch that.
Yeah, it was a vampire thing. He was in Magic Mike as well.
I didn't watch that and a few other things.
Anyways, the premise is, it's like Deal or No Deal. Mm-hmm. But instead of one person going up and picking their case and blah, 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 and having the banker, they have to go through these excursions. It's like it's almost like Survivor.
Oh.
It's almost like a blend of Survivor and Deal or No Deal. So they have an excursion. They have to do this task, and then they have to try and secure the largest amount of suitcase, like the money that has the most, or the suitcase that has the most money in it. And then whoever gets the highest amount is immune from elimination. Whoever has the lowest two amounts, then they are up for elimination and they have to play Deal or No Deal. And when they play Deal or No Deal, they have to make a good deal, meaning that the amount that they end up with at the end has to be either higher than what the banker offered, or what the banker offered has to be more than what's in their case.
Oh.
If they make a good deal, then they pick any other player other than whoever's immune to be booted off the show. If they make a bad deal, they get booted off the show. And what happens is the amount of the deal gets added to a final suitcase at the end of the season that the remaining, I don't know, 2-3 players or whatever, however many there are, will end up playing for in a Deal or No Deal kind of game, I think.
That actually sounds like something Matthew and I would like.
It's interesting. It's now the only thing I don't like about it, Boston Rob is on it.
I'm sorry, there's something named Boston you don't like?
Survivor, he won a bunch of Survivor.
I was gonna say, I've heard the name and I think he's like one of those that people that you love to hate, right? Or is he just you hate him? Okay.
I don't like him. I find him arrogant and cocky.
No, just say hate. You hate him. You hate him.
No, I don't hate him.
You
I don't know him to hate him.
Jelly beans on him.
Mara, I wish pickled jelly beans on you.
I know. I feel the hate. Just saying. Oh, so in other Echelon news, there is Run Disney event going on and Rin is teaching yoga as we speak.
Yes.
Maybe not right as we speak, but today. There was a picture of her looking real cute.
Today being Thursday, April 18th.
There you go.
not Monday, the day that the episode drops.
Correct. And I have a friend, Debbie, and her fiance are doing the challenge thing. Where I guess there's like, I think a 5K, a 10K, and a 15K, or I don't know, or maybe do a 5K 3 days in a row. I really don't know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I know there's a challenge, and they're doing it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of challenges, what? How's your running going?
what running? I did my peeps run. I do have a Godzilla run. Did you see that? There's a...
No.
I say Godzilla. There's a Kong...
You said Godzilla.
Kong versus Godzilla. And
okay.
I actually picked Team Kong because I love King Kong. Like, he's my dude.
Okay.
So I have that one to do. But... Matthew's been here and we've been walking around the park. Like I've gotten lots of exercise, but I just haven't been running so much.
Okay.
But
well, here to keep you accountable.
Yeah, I know. I'm just being honest. I could say, oh yeah, I've been running 3 miles a day. But that would be a lie. And while you could see it on my face, maybe they couldn't, but you know.
We can hear it in your voice.
Yeah. And I think it's important to be honest about that. Like, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm, you know, I would say
I haven't been on the bike.
Break.
Yeah. I haven't been on the bike in 3 weeks because I've been sick and
been
very busy.
Year.
And, yeah. So I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
But going to get back on there.
Absolutely.
Slowly but surely. And you're going to get back to running. And
absolutely.
So you got your peeps done. You got your little
I got my
medal.
Peeps medal. And yeah, Sarah Spins held me accountable for that, which I loved. You know, just checking in. Not like, mm-hmm. Hey, didn't you say you were going to do that, lady? You know. So yeah.
Sarah Spins awesome.
Yeah. All right. So we maybe shout out some other awesome people or...
Before we do that, mm-hmm. Chattanooga, new studio.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Yeah. Janet had the first ride out of the new studio in Chattanooga.
Yeah. Which and is, you know, pretty fitting since she's an OG.
Yeah. And of course, this past Friday was her last ride before her surgery.
Yes.
She's coming back.
Yes.
It's not, it's not goodbye.
Oh my gosh. If the audio cuts out there, they're going to be people driving off the road, freaking out, misinformation. She's off for 6 weeks recovering from a shoulder surgery. That's hard to say.
That is hard. Shoulders? Say that three times real fast. Do it three times real fast. Shoulder surgery. Say it.
No.
I'll do it next.
Okay. Oh, shoulder surgery, shoulder surgery, shoulder surgery. Okay.
My turn. Okay. Shoulder surgery, shoulder surgery, shoulder surgery.
I think you did better. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But could you see the focus?
Yes.
I had it in my brain. I was seeing the words.
I think I did some soldier surgery there.
Okay. Now it's time for everyone at home to try it. Ready? We'll wait. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll wait. Oh, that was good. They did
that
good.
That was good.
Yeah.
Except for that one. That one was a little question. Yeah. 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 I don't know about yours, but yeah. See, it's an interactive podcast.
I think that was Frank T that messed it up. I think it was him for sure.
I think it was Remy. It was probably Remy.
It's Remy.
Speaking
tell
of
about
Remy.
Your new word. I made a new word.
I didn't make a new word. I saw it posted somewhere. A friend of mine, I think, posted it on.
Just
I can't.
They won't know.
That'd be like you saying that you ran every day 3 miles.
Okay.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
A friend of mine posted this on Facebook and I saw it and I'm like, okay, this is hilarious because this is exactly descriptive of Remy.
Yes.
And the word is snacksident.
Snacksident.
Snacksident. When a snack accidentally falls in your mouth.
Like a whole thing of bagels. A rotisserie
right.
Chicken carcass. Carcass.
Oh, that dog.
Gotta love him.
Yeah. Yeah. Who needs a vacuum?
Exactly. is, okay, here's a new word I learned that you also didn't invent, but Matthew used it with me. And then I saw you use it.
Oh.
Like you wrote it down, actually spelled it out. I was so impressed.
Oh.
The thing in your kitchen sink that you put food down and you run it and it.
Oh. The carburetor.
Carburetor. I'm like, that's, isn't that what's in your car that can sometimes go out?
No, that's and cost a you carburetor.
A lot of money? I'm like, I mean, where I come from, that's a garbage disposal. Now, I don't know. Carburetor.
I'm pretty sure it's a carburetor.
Well, that's what
really?
Matthew said, and I know he would know, but I don't know if that's a Canadian thing or if that's a, like, knowing the technical names of things thing. There's a spectrum, and I'm kind of on it.
Yeah.
Not that
Aren't
one.
We all?
Yeah, but
Aren't
everyone's
we all?
On a spectrum. But a spectrum of, like, just down-home lingo versus... proper pronunciation of
well I mean garbage
things.
Disposal I do hear quite
do
often.
You okay people's
I
garbage
do.
Disposal
do.
They don't say my carburetor's acting up.
I feel like carburetor is a term from the 80s.
Interesting.
80s or 90s maybe. I can't remember where I heard it.
I was probably
the first
so
time.
Young then that I just don't know it. That face says you don't believe me. My God. I just got a look that was lady.
Your eyesight's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. So, speaking of funny sounding words, should we do some fun leaderboard names?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Let's do some fun leaderboard names.
All right.
How about spinning stylist?
I love that. Love it. How about from Adrian K., vitamin cheese.
The best kind of vitamin you can find.
Absolutely.
Other than vitamin D, maybe. Or maybe they're comparable. I don't know. Well, sunshine, vitamin D.
Okay, that's not where my mind went, but okay.
Meredith, this is a family show.
Earmuffs, kids. Uncle Abe just took us to a bad place.
I did not. The sun gives you vitamin D. Oh my goodness.
The sun allows you to like process and absorb the vitamin D. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm going to do the next one just because I like it, even though it's not my turn. It's also from Adrian K. And it's a bike potato.
A bike potato. Is that one of your potatoes on the bike?
Wouldn't it be funny? I've got Bunny on the stride, but that's only because Bunny likes to look out the window and watch the birds, and the stride
right.
is like a footstool.
Sure.
All right.
So the stride wasn't actually running while
Bunny
was on it.
Bunny is athletic enough to do it. However, I know Echelon does not recommend like children and pets near the stride. Nor does anyone, I think, really. But Bunny will not be controlled.
Okay.
She could do it. Whether she would put it together to do it or just freak out and fly against the China hutch, I don't know. Luckily, they come and look at me while I'm doing it. They have never tried to get on with me. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. The last one, also courtesy of Adrian K, Matcha Mama.
Matcha Mama. Now, we do have to thank Adrian K because 3 out of our 4 fun leaderboard names were from her. Because that shows how much either of us have been kind of doing other things than
I have been slacking a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I have too. I've been doing my sleep meditations and I've been doing like some yoga and stuff, but it's been beautiful weather here and I have been outside. So yeah.
Plus you have a visitor.
I do have a visitor.
Yeah.
All right. Shout outs.
Do you want to start?
Yeah. Wisco Mom 100 strides.
I wonder if Wisco Mom is from Wisconsin.
You know, I didn't clue that in. I was like, Wisco, that rhymes with Frisco, you know? And then I started to write
it
out, and my autocorrect went Wisconsin, and I went, oh, I bet she's from Wisconsin.
Were we both writing down bike potato?
Yes.
At the same time?
We were.
Okay.
Because I went to do it, and I'm like, there's two of them there. What happened? All right.
Speaking of two, we're going to go on to 200 rides now. Robin Robotnik, congratulations on your 200 rides. 200 strides. Ketchup.
Ketchup.
Watch out for the mustard. It's catching up. And then I got nothing. And then 200 Fit Pass, Emily Michelle.
Love it. Travis Osborne, 300.
With 400 rides, Hockey Ma, and 400 strides, Jesse B.
Amazing. Janice Madden Spencer, 750 rides.
800 rides, Kelly Nick.
Jennifer Mills, aka Jenny Windmill, 900 workouts.
Awesome. So close to that cube, 100 to go. You're almost there. Speaking of 1,000 rides, Sarah spins, and we have 1,000 workouts joining the Cube Club, Nana Banana.
Nana Banana. I love that so much. 1,200 rides, Constance Beck and Nanny D.
With 1,300 rides, we have a tired Rican.
Aw, bless him. I hope he gets a nap soon.
I know.
We got some 2,000s in the house.
Amazing.
We've got Jill Babinski and Glenn Rublinger, 2,000 rides. FunFit Mom 07, 2,000 workouts. And Savage Mama, 2,000 Fit Pass. Amazing, Julie. That's incredible.
I feel like FunFit Mom 07 should change her name to FunFit Mom 007.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it too.
License to work out.
Ooh. License to kill on the bike.
Ooh.
3,900 something. We're not sure what. I'm going to guess workouts.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing. Adrian K.
Pig Mom, 4,000 workouts.
Amazing. It's so good to like seeing all these high numbers. Like we're starting to see a lot more of them, which
it's
is
really
awesome.
Incredible.
5,500 workouts. Previous guest on the podcast, our very own friend Saucy Chris.
Amazing! Great job, everyone. Just keep crushing it. If we missed you, do not hesitate to DM us, especially Abe. Or you can DM me and say that Abe really messed up by not getting your shout out and you're really mad at him. And, you know, I'll take care of you. I will make sure it happens.
Uh-huh. Right.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot to tell you that I went to the carnival this weekend. I can't believe I forgot to tell you that.
You went to the carnival?
I had to ride rides because my 14-year-old won, you know. None of their friends could go, so I had to ride rides. And I'm too old for that.
No.
There was one that was like a G-force thing, and it was like spinning. I can't remember. Death spin?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't do spinny rides at all, ever.
I was like, I really think I might. Like, I got off that ride and my legs wouldn't work, and I was like, I'm discombobulated. Like, the meaning of the word discombobulated is me. I had to sit on a bench. I was like, I'm like, Nicole, I got to get my world together before we can move on.
Or like JMI, you have to collect your marbles.
Oh, my marbles were lost. They were gone.
And anything you left behind on the ride.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny because when I was a kid, like I'd eat a funnel cake. I'd go ride rides, whatever. The smell of the food, I was like, I didn't eat a funnel cake. I didn't eat a corn. I didn't want anything to do with any of that
food. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I did it. And, you know, thanks to Echelon, I fit in the seat comfortably. So non-scale victory. I could do it.
There you go.
I could actually ride with my kid.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Meredith, it is that time. Oh. Not for Did You Know. That's not till later.
Oh,
that's later. You can breathe.
Okay.
You can breathe. But it is time for an expert segment.
That sounds wonderful. But you know what? I was not hungry for food at the fair, but I am starving now. So I think, you know, it's about time for you to pull your weight and handle this one. And I'm going to go get a snack.
Oh.
Bye.
What? What?
See you later. You got this, kid. I believe in you.
Man, the lack of professionalism around here. All right, it's time to check in with our OG expert, Jema Oliver. Hello, Jema.
Hi, Abe. It's so good to talk to you again.
I know. We're spreading the love amongst all of the instructors for the expert segment, so it's not fair that we just always come to you.
I know everybody is really smart, so I don't want to like hog all the experts.
Exactly. Plus, we're flying a little solo right now. Meredith has gone to the bathroom or so. I don't know where she's going.
I was going to say snack.
Probably a snack. So it's just us. Speaking of snacks, I thought today we could talk about one of the things that I had to do was have a bit of a paradigm shift in terms of how I approach exercise and fitness and health. And initially, it started off as weight loss. And then I learned through my journey about something called NSVs, these non-scale victories. And I think that, you know, to be a healthier version of yourself and just to be generally fit, those are fantastic gauges, these non-scale victories. Like, you know, I've lost an inch off my pants, or I wear a smaller size pant or whatever, that you might not necessarily see your weight loss, but you see these non-scale victories. You can go up three flights of stairs without losing your breath, whatever. But there's also the other coin to this, where there are members who specifically want to lose 5 or 10 pounds. So that's what I thought we could talk about today.
So, I mean, this is one of those things that it's, I was just talking with one of the girls this week. I can't remember if it was Nicole or Eden. I think it might've been Nicole, about how, you know, we kind of live in this echo chamber where we surround ourselves with people who think like we do. And it's kind of shocking to go out in culture and see that not everybody thinks like we do. In the industry, the fitness industry, the health industry, nutrition, there's been this move toward health at every size. I am a huge fan of this movement because it takes the focus off of body size and puts it on overall health and wellness, which I think is the direction that we need to go. What we forget, because this is our world and like we live it every single day, is not everybody is there yet, right? I'm like you. I started in health and fitness because I wanted to lose weight. I gained 65 pounds when I was pregnant with James, did not bring home a 65 pound baby, and realized that I needed to do something about that.
Yeah.
That's what got me started, right? It was weight loss. However, it was a very long and winding road from weight loss to health, because I can tell you that the times in my life when I was thinnest, smallest, appeared to be in the best shape, I was actually the least healthy physically and mentally. There are a million different ways that you can be thin, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are healthy physically or mentally.
Right.
So I think that this push in the fitness industry, the nutrition industry, and eventually, hopefully, the medical field toward being more focused on health rather than weight or body size is a really, really positive thing. So when we say focus on the non-scale victories, what we're trying to say is the size of your body is not the most important thing, right? Nine times out of 10, whenever I talk to somebody who's lost weight, especially huge amounts of weight, they'll say, oh my gosh, I lost 100 pounds. And I'm like, that is fantastic. How do you feel? And it's the feeling, the ability to do the things that they want to do, to sleep better, to go play with their kids, to go to, you know, Disney World and spend the day or whatever it is.
Right.
That's what's really making them happy. It's not the fact that they lost 100 pounds that makes them happy. It's the fact that they can now do all those things that they didn't used to be able to do.
Right.
And here's the thing. There are lots and lots of people out there that look like a supermodel, right? But they can't do the things that we do.
Mm-hmm. It's a vicious cycle almost, right?
It is.
I mean, you want to be fit, so you want to exercise, and you know, whether your goal is to lose weight, yeah, you have to be in a caloric deficit no matter what you're doing, because you have to lose weight. Yet at the same time, how can you maintain the activity level that you need to maintain when you're not fueling your body?
You can't. And so You know, I recently read this book. I think I have it handy. I'll see if I can find the quote because it was really, really good. And it's something that's tough, especially for those of us that like have lost weight and felt really good about that. It is, oh, I've turned right to it. Here we go. When we begin to care for our body with care tasks, so resting, eating, taking our medications, and joyfully moving, sometimes we lose weight. Sometimes we gain weight. Sometimes our weight doesn't change at all. And that's a tough pill to swallow, right? Because for me, for the first, 38 years of my life, I mean, not when I was a toddler, I didn't really care. But, other than that, my goal was always skinny. I want to be skinny. I want to be skinny. I want to be skinny. I want to fit into these pants. I want to be attractive. I want to fit this ideal of like what I should look like. Now, I would like to say that as long as I am able to do the things that I want to do and feel good and live a joyful life, that I would be fine if I was heavier than my ideal. And in theory, I would be, but I would struggle, right? Like, I don't want to be a chunky monkey, right? Like, yeah. I don't. But the fact of the matter is that the size of my body does not indicate my health or my ability to live well. And so in trying to take the focus off of the scale and losing weight, it's not that we're saying that losing weight is bad. It, a lot of the time, losing weight is a good thing. Like if you are incredibly overweight to the point that like knees are giving out and, your heart rate is off the charts and you're diabetic, like these are all things that you need to focus on losing some weight, right? The thing that we want to get away from is that being the only focus. We also want to get away from looking at people on the street and making assumptions about their health based on the size of their bodies. Here's a case in point. I've got a good friend from back home that's been working out with Echelon since 2021, I think. She is in the absolute best shape of her entire life. She's in incredible shape. She went in to have her physical for work, for their health insurance, and her BMI was higher than what they thought that it needed to be and immediately told her that she needed to lose weight.
Right.
based entirely on this arbitrary number. And that's garbage. I mean, she's in the best shape of her life and we can't look at her. We can't look at her BMI and go,
yeah,
you're in bad shape.
It's almost like they've come up with this tool that they don't even have to do any sort of assessments. Here's your weight. Here's the index. Okay, you're not falling in this cookie mold here. You're overweight. You're underweight. Whatever. Away you go. It's easy medicine. I call it easy medicine.
Yeah, it's absolute garbage. I mean, like I would go into the doctor when I was really, really thin, step on the scale, and they would be like, "Ah, good job. You're doing fantastic." When really, like, I was living on like cookies and alcohol and was an absolute disaster, but like I would step on the scale and they would applaud and say, go home. And the opposite is true, for those that are a little bit heavier that fall on that spectrum of like, your BMI is too high. I'm doing air quotes as if you guys could see me. Your BMI is too high. So you must be unhealthy.
Right.
When really they're healthier than I was when I was teeny.
Yeah.
So to put a little bow on this, I never want to discourage somebody from losing weight. It is one of those things that like is concrete, right? Like you can get up in the morning and go step on the scale and go, okay, so the decisions that I made in this last week have led to this number on the scale. And as long as that's not your be all end all, then you're probably good. Mm-hmm. But when the scale becomes your only measure of your health and fitness and your worth as a human, that's where we kind of run into trouble. And I think that's where we in the fitness industry are really trying to move away from that and say, you know what, let's focus on something else.
Yep.
Because that's not giving you the whole picture.
Yeah. We need to start thinking of the scale in moderation, just like everything else we do.
Absolutely. I mean, like there was a time in my life when I would get on the scale 10 or 15 times a day. That's not healthy, you guys. Like, just don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, I just went to the bathroom. Got to step on the scale.
Exactly. And wait a minute. Let me like take off my belt and like my glasses need to go off. And yeah, like just don't. That's silly.
Take off all the jewelry. And
you guys, we got more important things to do.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks so much for your time, Jaima. As always, we appreciate you and your knowledge.
Thank you.
Oh, well. Look who decided to join us again.
Did you get it taken care of? You got that done?
Yeah.
Look at you.
How was your snack?
Big boy. It was so good. I had chips and queso. Oh, one of my favorites.
Where's mine?
I ate it for you. Yeah, because I'm a good friend.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. You can have the calories.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. It's okay. I'm going for a walk right after this. So
yeah, there you go. Good. You know, it's interesting how our journeys, the paths that we take when we begin our journeys. Right. When I first started, it was because, you know, I wanted to lose some weight.
Yeah.
Not thinking about just being a healthier version of myself. So those non-scale victories eventually meant a lot more to me than the initial goal of losing weight. So I just, you know, it's just an interesting paradigm shift there. And for anybody that is on this journey to lose weight, that's great for them as well. So I think it's important to kind of balance it all off, right?
I think it is. It's a lot like the leaderboard. You know, you start out really worrying about your place on the leaderboard, and sometimes you kind of shift out of that, even if it's just momentarily, to like train for something or to do something. I've seen a lot of people get on the bike to get healthier, and all of a sudden they're like, you know what, I'm going to go on an actual bike that goes somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
And so their training has to look different. You cannot be training for a race outdoors and just hit the top of the leaderboard all the time, unless you're already like that strong and using the bike for training like some people do. But
exactly. And I mean, just like everything in life, right? In moderation.
Yeah.
That's really key.
Yeah.
So
thanks for handling that. I'm proud of you.
Hey, you know what? My pleasure.
Yeah.
I can do more than just edit.
I was gonna say you're more than just a pretty face.
Well, I am that too. Let's not get it twisted here. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, are you ready for this? Do you know what time it is?
Hammer time?
Did you know? All right, Meredith. So today's is a pretty fun one. Okay. I have a question for you.
All right. I have an answer.
What country has the most number of existing pyramids?
Well, I think there's a pretty obvious answer that I'm going to guess is wrong. Ooh, I want to say Mexico because of like the Incas and all them.
Okay. Nope, you're wrong.
South America? Brazil?
No.
Oh. Africa?
That's a continent.
Yeah.
It's not a country.
Okay, I wanted to say Egypt, but that's obviously going to be wrong.
And that is what most people would think. So Egypt actually has 138 pyramids.
Okay.
And when you think about it, that's a lot.
It is
a lot of pyramids. Yeah. However, they do not have the most pyramids in the world, the most existing the most standing pyramids in the world. Sudan. Yeah.
Is it a similar thing? Were they like burial places of kings and queens, or did you just find out the fact and you don't know?
I just found out the fact.
Okay.
Not going to lie.
I really thought I might have sussed it. I thought it might have been like the Incans and the Mayans, and I'm going to get it, but I was wrong.
Yeah. Initially, they had about 240 constructed at three different sites in Sudan. And they were actually tombs for kings and queens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had a quick little look at the cheat sheet that I had. But they currently have 220 standing pyramids.
Do you want to know the pyramid that I've seen the most, probably? Well, it's a toss-up, actually. There's two pyramids.
Okay.
One's the Luxor,
in
Vegas.
Luxor, yeah.
But also, Bass Pro Shop has a pyramid in Memphis. And I gotta say, it's pretty impressive. You're crossing the Mississippi River, and there's a pyramid. pyramid.
All right.
It's impressive.
But I don't think that they're tombs.
Not yet. Not that we know of.
Oh, my dear.
Goodness.
Well, it's been another
fit. You stumped me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yay.
Well done, eh?
After you guessed the last two, yeah. So I really have to come up with something.
I really knew Sudan, but I didn't want to say and embarrass you again.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Where is Sudan?
Somewhere over there by Egypt. Somewhere in the desert.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And on that note, Meredith, Thank you for playing.
You're welcome.
Let's not go on Millionaire together.
No.
Who wants to be a millionaire? No.
If there's a Harry Potter question, I got your back, though.
Okay, perfect. You can be my phone a friend for that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening, and thank you for enjoying this podcast as much as we enjoy it. It is the super excellent, not too serious, Bike That Goes Nowhere podcast.
We're just here to have some fun. Let our faces feel the morning sun. Gonna laugh and put on a smile. Come along and join us for a while. Well, it's pretty clear to me. The whole world takes itself too seriously. Take a ride with
a band
on a bike that goes nowhere.